This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM Insane Broadcasting, America's bi-state voice of freedom, renegade radio. And as always, we are proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot. Welcome to the dark side. This is Bob Romanek on this kind of decent Friday. It's going to get a little bit warmer today, I guess about 40 degrees. So wear a small jacket. Don't go too crazy outside unless you need to. Try to stay as healthy as you can. Today is Friday, the last day of the week. So we can bounce. We always bounce around because I don't know where I'm going until I get there. We can bounce around. A few good people, I'll leave the lines open most of the day. If you good people have something you want to talk about that's worth talking about, don't hesitate to give me a call because I'll be more than happy today to talk wherever you guys want to go. I did see in the paper that there was a man in St. Louis County, a black man, of course, and I only say that because most of the time these attacks are made by black men, sometimes black women. Occasionally there's a white man, but it's primarily black. There's a black man, 20 years old, was just sentenced to 30 years in prison after admitting to raping, sodomizing, and trying to attack four women over the last 6 months. Tenderemus Cross, 20 years old, of the 10,000 block of Count Drive in North St. Louis County, pleaded guilty to all these charges that started about the last 6 months. He had raped somebody. He had made two or three of them give him oral sex. He took money from them. He took a car from one of them. And comes out that he got caught. And after some negotiations, he did plead out and took the 30 years in prison. Now he's going to have to do 85%, you hear me, people, of that time, but that's okay. You know, to some of these thugs, both black and white, some of these no-count criminal thugs, 25, 30 years is nothing to them because they'll do something 6 months after they're out, and they'll do another 5 or 10, and then when they get out, they'll do another 5 or 10, and that's just the way these asswipe, no-count, good-for-nothing, lousy son-of-a-bitches are, and we have to take them sometime. I say sometime we have to take them with a grain of salt because I don't think they know any better. You know, they were brought up the way they were brought up, and I don't think they know any better. But for him to get 30 years and to not to have his own attorney and to take that 30 years is really something. But I guess he's happy. I guess I don't know if he's happy or his family's happy, but I guess they could have gotten more time for him. And I guess he thought 85% of 30 years, you know, he'll still be a relatively young man, and he could get out. But I would assume an asswipe bastard like Cross here will go back and back and back again. And it's a shame that it has to be that way, but that's usually the way it is, not just in St. Louis and St. Louis County or St. Clair County, but all throughout this great country. We have the same kind of asswipe, no good for nothing son of a bitches who give a damn less about the law because, number one, they don't think they're going to get caught. But when they get caught, they think, well, I'll probably get out of it. And then when they know they can't get out of it, then they just take the time, the best time they can get. And most of them, I think, at the end of the day, know they're going to get caught. They may not get caught on the first time, the second time, the third time. But at some point in time, they know they're going to get caught. And they just, you know, pay the consequences. And if that's the way they want to do it, that's their business. I watched a little bit, not much, of the Democratic presidential nomination yesterday. And man, oh man, oh man, was it something. You had 7 no good bastards on the stage. Now we've got a couple more that I think are going to get involved in the next month or so. But you had 7 candidates that shared the stage in Los Angeles. It was the final presidential debate. The final presidential debate of 2019. There's going to be a lot more. But what really kind of impressed me was Senator Elizabeth Warren, how she came out against Mr. Buttigieg, you know, the mayor of the town in whatever the hell, in where the hell's he at? The town I'm trying to find, South Bend, Indiana, the 37-year-old gay mayor of South Bend, Indiana. And people in Indiana are talking about him like the dog that he is. They're talking about all the things he's done wrong. But he decided to get into the race. And I would say that I don't think he's going to win the nomination, but in the last month or two, I think he's came a long way. I think he's came a long way because I think people, I don't know if they want an elderly person to run. I don't think they want him, a young person, to run either. So I don't know what a good age would be, but I know I think Blagojevich is a little bit too young, and I think people like Bernie Sanders is a little bit too old. So somewhere, I think personally, somewhere in between, but I could be wrong. But as you guys listen to me day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, and year in and year out, you found out I haven't been wrong yet. Now these asswipe, no good for nothing bastards can call and they can give me crap. But when it's all said and done, they know what I say is correct, because not only do I say it's correct, I make sure I research it and find it to be correct. If it's not correct, I never run with it. But everything I've said up till now these years has been correct, and I'll continue to run with it. But it's just amazing. It's just amazing how these candidates can come together, and they can come together and say, hey, listen, we're going to come together for this presidential debate on Thursday night in Los Angeles, and we're going to say whatever the hell we want to say. We're not saying what we say is correct, because they've never got enough information to say any of this crap is right or any of this crap is wrong. So they just run with what they think the best to run with, and it amazes me. They started with 15 or 20 candidates. Now this time they're down to 7, and I think in the next month or so they'll probably be down to 3 or 4, and I think at that point that'll put the good guys against the bad guys. That'll put the guys that can't win out of the race, and the 3 or 4 that may win, they'll keep them in the race. But it just amazed me how they came after Buttigieg the way they did. And he really didn't have any explanation for the way he handled a few of his situations. But, you know, we run with it, we let it go, and then we talk about it later. But I'm for talking about it now, instead of talking about it later. I'm for talking about it now when we can address the situation and not have to worry about being correct or incorrect 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months down the road. I see the two people were killed and one man critically injured in a house fire in South St. Louis. That was a couple hours ago. I tried to research what I could on the TV and the radio, but I couldn't get a whole bunch of information. And it says it appears the fire started in the middle of the building, but the building was fairly tight and the fire ran out of oxygen and later put itself out. Firefighters think that the smoke detectors in the home weren't working because they didn't hear any alarm sounding and the family hadn't been awakened by any of the sounds. But it says nothing is suspicious about the fire, but arson investigators are handling the case as is protocol whenever someone dies in a house fire. It says it was the victim's home, and they did have utilities. Firefighters have not found a space heater or anything to say that there was something other than some kind of natural cause. But it's amazing. It's amazing. And also, then they had in another situation, I'm trying to get the information, and sometimes it's hard to get. Sometimes it's hard to get. But in Bethalto, Illinois, three people. They found two men and a woman dead inside a Bethalto home late Thursday night after a neighboring police department asked for a welfare check. Said shortly before 11 p.m., Hazelwood police called and asked the Bethalto officers to check the home in the 300 block of Mill Street. The Bethalto police went by and they found two men aged 32 and 30 dead, along with one woman, 59, dead. Says the name of the victims or any details on how they died were not immediately being released as of Friday morning. But it says the major case squad was activated. Now, isn't it amazing? You have all these killings, and it goes all throughout the St. Louis metropolitan area. And more so than not, these crimes never get solved. Now, some will get solved. I'd say probably 15, 20, 25% maybe. But when you have 100% of fatalities in fires or shootings, and only 25% of the 100% get solved, don't you think something at some point is wrong? I'd have to say yes. Go ahead, Lou. You're on the dark side.
Yeah, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. There's a wide variety of topics that you've covered this week. And then if I could, I'd just like to give you just a quick rundown of everything that I thought that you covered. And, you know, obviously.
Well, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Everything that's been covered? I don't have that much time, I don't think.
Just a few things that you've covered this week, you know, like the German house. You know, that was doomed for failure back when they even started. I mean, the Strassen Fest in St. Louis stopped in 1990. There is no black Germans, you know, so right. That was doomed for failure on the west side of the Beltway. So I have no idea why they would even build anything like that remotely on the west side of Beltway.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you mentioned about the marijuana laws, about that all coming legal and everything, you know, no one ever talks about, you know, well, alcohol certainly has killed a lot of people over the years,
sure.
You know, and most people would rather smoke pot than drink alcohol, but they don't, Bob, because it's against the law. So they still are forced to go out and drink alcohol, even though they don't want to. And the alcohol industry are the biggest lobbyists against legalizing marijuana. A lot of people doesn't realize that, but that's the truth.
Well, that is the truth.
And when they do legalize it federally, that's when you're going to see the big cigarette makers step in and swoop up all these small companies, and then because they already have the distribution channels in place, and they're going to come in and it's going to eliminate the black market, contrary to what you say about the black market, because you know it's an excise tax is what they exercise on these people, okay? And when once they pass this federally, that's when you'll see the cigarette makers get involved, and it's going to be available everywhere, just like this gambling, you know, and gambling's coming everywhere because There are bookies everywhere, Bob. In every little town, there's a bookie. You know, just like a dope dealer, but they don't treat bookies like dope dealers, even though they probably should. Yep.
Well, here's the problem I have with that, Lou, and thanks for the call. I think you're totally wrong. I think when they start legalizing all this marijuana, I think it's going to do nothing but make the black market that much better, because I think the black market's going to know that they don't have to get licensing, they don't have to get any kind of funding, they don't have to do anything. So what they can do, they can sell their product a lot cheaper than the people that have legalization of marijuana. And I think, and we'll talk about it, Lou, after it all takes effect after the first of the year, but I think you're totally, totally wrong. I've talked to enough people. I've talked to some people that are involved in the narcotics industry on the illegal end, and they've told me, Bob, it's going to be better for us because we're going to be able to get this stuff that we sell, and we're going to be able to sell it cheaper because you're right. They're going to have all kind of taxes. They're going to have all kind of sales taxes, all kind of this tax, that tax. And what that's going to do, Lou and everybody else, that's going to jack the price of legalized marijuana through the roof. And when it does that, you're going to see where all these little mom-and-pop illegal operations, they're going to continue to thrive, and I think thrive and thrive and thrive, because they're not going to be mandated. They're not going to be mandated by all the procedures and all the taxes that are going to come out with this legalized medical marijuana. Now, Lou and everybody else, I could be wrong. Of course, I haven't been wrong yet, so I don't think at this point I'm going to be wrong, but let's wait till the first of the year. Let's wait till the first of the year and decide what's going on, and then we'll take it from there. Lou, again, thanks for your call. It's always amazing. We can have different sides to every story, but you people think about it. When they start legalizing this marijuana in Illinois and Missouri and all throughout this country, you're going to see where these illegal dealers are going to be even stronger, because again, if you can sell some marijuana, I don't know how it's sold, but if you can sell a stick of marijuana on the legal market for $40 and you can sell it for $20 on the illegal market, where do you think the people that have been getting the illegal drugs are going to go? They're going to stay exactly where they're at. The federal government, the state government, they're going to have their taxes. I think in some of these towns, the local tax is going to be 3% on the sale of any marijuana products. Now, if it's going to be 3% at the local level, what's it going to be at the state level? And once that, if it's another 3%, and then say 3 or 4% at the federal level, because it's going to have to reach that once it gets going, that's going to be 3, 6, and 4. That's going to be 10%. It's going to be a 10% at least, a 10% raise, at least, I say, a 10% raise on the sale of legitimate marijuana. And I think at that point, these illegitimate places are going to know, hey, we've been selling it for years now and not really getting any trouble because we're not selling it on a big level. I think we'll continue to sell it that way. And I don't think you're going to see many, many, if any, I say many, many, if any, local illegal distributors, I don't think you're going to see them go straight. I think you're going to see the doctors, the lawyers, the people with money, they're the ones that are going to want to get involved in the legalization of marijuana, and probably twofold. So they can try to make some money, number one, but along the way, and just as good or bad, is that it's a compromising situation. It's a compromising situation that I don't think most decent people will really want to get involved in. But you will have doctors, lawyers, you'll get professional people. But at the end of the day, it's the unprofessionals, and there may be doctors selling it illegally, there may be lawyers, there may be anybody selling it illegally, and they don't make a lot of money. But I think they'll continue to sell it illegally because, again, at the end of the day, you're not going to get too many people that were involved in the illegal sale going to get involved in the legal sale, because what do they say? It's some of these places going to take $200,000 to get a license. It's going to take $50,000 to get the permits. It's going to take this and this and this to get a legal operation off the ground. And do you think, do any of you good people think that any point in time that these people now that are dealing with it illegally, you think they're going to come up with $200,000 to get a license? Do you think they're going to come up with $50,000 to get whatever permits? Do you think they're going to come up with another couple hundred thousand dollars to get all the fees that are going to be involved? I'd have to say no, but again, I haven't been wrong yet, but let's try us after the first of the year and see where we're at. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the dark side.
Good morning, you mean docile bastard.
how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Hey, has the doctor adjusted your prescription, or did you get your pipes cleaned? Because you sound really relaxed, my friend.
I sound what?
Really relaxed.
What is that, good or bad?
Well, you either got your pipes cleaned or the doctor adjusted your medicine.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I feel a lot better. Of course, I know I don't look any better, Dave, and I don't sound any better, but I sure feel a lot better.
Well, I was going to say, no, you actually sound good, my friend.
Well, hey, I appreciate that. Go ahead.
Hey, you know, you were calling about all these killings and so on and so forth. That's just like, unfortunately, that situation up in Bethalto. Bob, you and I know, unfortunately, probably what the end result of that's going to be whenever they release the investigation. To where the family's not embarrassed. I hope it's carbon monoxide, but you and I know it was probably some kind of illegal activity, but I probably shouldn't even be surmising, so my heart...
Dave, you have every right to surmise. We all do in this great country, so go ahead and speak your piece.
Well, I'm hoping it's carbon monoxide, because at least the family, you know, will be able to deal with that a little bit better than...
I'll give you 20 to 1 odds that it's not. Will you take my odds?
My friend, I think you're correct, 100% correct.
go ahead.
I think you're 100% correct. But, you know, Bob, God bless the men and women in blue over here. They're doing all they can. But you know what, people? If you want these officers to solve these crimes, you don't necessarily have to talk to them on the street. Look, we all get it. You got to solve these crimes, because guess what? You are the next victim of these criminals.
You know what, Dave, I agree with you 150%. I've been in East St. Louis as a homicide detective. I've been the chief in Washington Park 3 times. I know exactly where you're coming from, but have you listened to me? You understand, some people don't, but sometimes you got to get behind the scene to see what's going on in front of the scene.
Right, and I can tell you right now, I'd stake my life on this. Police officers want to put the right person in jail, not just anybody. They want the right person in jail. Because let's just say they wrongfully convict the wrong person, then a murderer is still out there running around.
You know what?
So you've ruined 2 lives.
Yeah, yes, you know what, Dave? Yes, they have. And that's been a problem years back, and especially in the late 70s, early 80s, when I was coming up. A lot of times, if we got somebody that we thought may be involved, and we didn't have a big force at that time, we'd throw their ass in jail. We'd get 1 or 2 people to say, hey, yeah, we saw him come out of the house. We'd throw him in jail. We'd take him to court. We'd find him guilty. We'd give him 20, 30 years. And then to come to find out, not a lot of times, but some of the times, they weren't the ones guilty of the crime.
Well, you know, Bob, they've proven, too, that witness identification at best sucks.
Yeah. I got to agree with you, Dave. It's amazing how that's probably one of the worst IDs to have on somebody is a physical description, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the best thing that we have going now, when I say we as society, we have these surveillance cameras and DNA.
You know what?
Go ahead. DNA.
No, I think you're totally right. I think DNA and these cameras, and they're not perfect, but I think they take the level and take it from a 2 out of 2 to 10 to about an 8 out of 2 to 10. What do you think?
Oh, Bob, I absolutely agree with you. Well, look at this latest crap out at the Galleria. I guarantee you some way, somehow, that surveillance video came into play to arrest that female suspect. So, it's, hey, yay for you women getting in on this crap. Good for you.
Yeah. 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 Isn't it really amazing that it has to work out that way?
Well, unfortunately, but it's a good thing it does, because now we're getting people in jail that need to be. Hey, Bob, is there a possibility, I don't know, when you go to a break, we could chat off the air real quick?
Yeah, when I take a break, I'll have about a minute or so. So if we can talk in that length of time, as soon as I take my break, you call at the station and we can talk.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Okay, buddy. You have a good
one. Take care now.
Yes, sir. You too. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing how we think about things, then we let them go. No, we need to think about things and not let them go. We need to put them in the back of our head and then memorize them. And then when the next thing comes up, you memorize that. And sooner or later, you'll have enough information that you and me and everybody along the way, the decent people, will have the authority. Not the legal authority, but we'll have the authority that we need as people of this great United States to put this crap together and put some of these asswipe, no count, good for nothing bastards in jail. And if we don't, it's going to come back to haunt us. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM Insane Broadcasting, America's bi-state voice of freedom, Renegade Radio. And as always, we are proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot.
From KQQZ 1190 AM, St. Louis, Missouri, USA, you're listening to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio.
This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM, Insane Broadcasting at its finest, America's bi-state voice of freedom, Renegade Radio. And as always, we are proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot. Welcome back to the dark side on this Friday morning. Going to be fairly nice all weekend, so I hope everybody gets out, friend and foe, and has a good time, a safe time, so we can come back on Monday morning and start arguing and fighting again. That's what Americans do, people. As you all know, we've got the Democrats and the Republicans. They're going to fight each other day in and day out, because they just don't really give a damn, and I don't blame them, because I fight day in and day out. Let's go ahead and take some more callers. Go ahead, Nathan. You're on the dark side.
Yeah, the difference between a government weed and the weed that they're going to be selling on the street, the weed in the streets is going to be more potent. and you're going to get more bang for your buck. So the government is going to drive all the criminals underground. Also, changing the subject, Bob, is it okay for me and my kids to go ride on that trolley? Or do you think I need my AR-15 on my back?
Yeah.
You know, niggas try to get out, you know, try to get one off on me.
Yeah, let me tell you what, Nathan, I know you're being half satirical there, but I would think right after the end of the year, and I think that's coming next week, I don't think there's going to be a trolley, and I don't think the government is going to pick up that $30, $40 million to keep it going, and I think it's going to be a debacle. What's your take?
I thought Bi-State was taking it over. Hey, you know, St. Louis really don't have any attractions for people to come and see other than the arch and that damn Ferris wheel that, that light that illuminates like the sun. There really ain't nothing here.
You know what, Nathan, I have to agree with you. When I have people come in town, I always tell them, go out of town, get out of the downtown area, because, you know, that's where all the problem areas are. You can go to South St. Louis County, or you can go out to West County, but for people to come and stay down in the downtown St. Louis area, I don't think that's been going on or been doing right for the last 6, 8, 10 years, and I don't think it's going to get any better. What do you think?
What do you think they need to do to clean it up? Because that Central West End got all them colleges right there. You got WashU, yeah. I'm suing St. Louis U right there. Yeah. So all those colleges, because when I was in college, I used to go to the Red, that Jamaican restaurant down there called Red Roof, I think.
Yeah. Hey, let me tell you what, Nathan. I don't know if there's anything that can be done. I even think in the West St. Louis area, I think it's so dangerous there, you know, around where Lida Crewson live and some of those people live. I don't think that's been a good safe area for the last 5, 6 years. I don't think that's going to be turned around. I think everybody's going to have to move to the outer county, because if they don't, I think you're going to see it continue to get worse and worse and worse, and there's not going to be anything we can do about it.
Unless you do.
Do what?
Have individuals form their own, like, little police troops and stuff.
Yeah.
But, because the police don't get there quick enough when all these murders and stuff happen.
You know, Nathan, I somewhat agree. And thanks for the call, Nathan. I don't have a lot of extra time. Thanks for the call. But you could be right. There may need to be legitimate vigilante groups when it's all over, because our police cannot handle it. Not that they're not qualified, there's just not enough police to go around. So I think, Nathan, you could be right that at some point in time it may come to that. Hopefully it won't. Hopefully somebody will do something and they'll still have their businesses in the St. Louis market, but it'll be like anything else. Once the business day's over, and you can see, and I've said it 1,000 times before, once the business is over in the St. Louis area, everybody gets in their cars, gets on the trains, gets on the buses, and they all go to the outer county area. And a lot of them may not have wanted to do that in the past, but that's the only way for them and their families to survive. And I think if that's what's going to have to happen, that's what needs to happen. And I think St. Louis probably went from 800,000-900,000 people years back to about 300,000 now, and I think out of that 300,000 people, there's probably 5,000 that are making it bad for everybody else. And it's a shame. It's a shame that it has to be that way, because, you know, people are just, they're to the point anymore where we're going to have to do one or two things. We're going to have to either get into these areas that are criminally infected right now and straighten them up, or we're going to have to move out of the area. And I think what people have been doing for the last 10, 15, 20 years, they've been moving out of the area. And I kind of think that's the best thing to do for two reasons. I think, number one, it's the best thing to do because it keeps your families away from all the crime, not just in St. Louis, but all the bad areas all throughout the country. And I think it's a good thing because I don't think police officers need to have their families right in the heart of where the crime's at. And if they do that in St. Louis, if they do that in East St. Louis, if they do that in Chicago, if they do that in a lot of these depressed areas, you're going to see where there's not going to be any decent police officers, because they're all going to say at the end of the day that as bad as I'd like to be a police officer, I'm not going to subject me and my family to everything that it encompasses. And I understand that, and I think all you good people, both black and white, understand that. And I would not under any circumstance have my family living in an area like they're living in now. I see over in Illinois that a federal judge dismissed the St. Clair County Judge Ronald Dupert's lawsuit against the county and the state of Illinois. Remember the lawsuit where Judge Dupert, and I use that term very, very, very loosely, where he was suing the state, the county, and I guess the federal government, because he was dismissed, or going to try to be dismissed, and so he got some attorneys, put them together. He had one set of attorneys, and they went by the wayside. I think Ron Dupert decided that some of the attorneys he got starting off were just not good attorneys, and I think that's a damn lie. I just think it was a really, really, really bad case, so they just kind of let it go. But anyway, Dupert let this crap go and go and continued to go until of which time that nothing can be done. So the judges got together and they decided, hey, there's not anything to this case, so we're going to dismiss this case. Now they're saying they're dismissing it because it should be at the state level and not the federal level. So the federal judges are going to dismiss this case. And I think Ron Dupert figured that at the state level that he had nothing coming, because I think he knows he was wrong at the state level, and I think he knows he's wrong at the federal level. So at this point in time, not him, but the federal judge in the Southern District of Illinois said, hey, Judge Richard Mills, He issued his opinion in U.S. District Court saying the case should not be tried in the federal court when only state law claims remain. So I don't know what Dupert's going to do. I don't know if he's going to get another attorney, saying that these last attorneys are no good. Like he said, the first and the second tier of attorneys he had and fired were no good. So I don't know if he's going to go to a third or fourth tier of attorneys and say, now I've got some good attorneys at the state level, or he's just going to let it go. But either way, I think he's bucking a loser. I think he knows he's bucking a loser. And so we're going to have to see how that plays out. But I don't think that looks good for Ron Dupert, and I think he will eventually be thrown off the bench. I'm hoping that's the case, and I'm hoping that the decent Democrats and Republicans understand that's the case, and they let it go. I also see where they're talking about the impeachment of Trump and how some of the U.S. congressmen are talking about it. I see in the paper, that Republican Mike Voss said he voted against both of them, both impeachment charges, said he didn't think they were right, shouldn't have been charged. Rodney Davis, who represents the 13th District up north a little bit, said the same thing, said they never should have charged him because there was nothing to charge him with. Now, John Shimkus, also a Republican, he kind of stayed out of the mix because he don't want the Democrats after him, but he also and really doesn't want the Republicans after him after he leaves office. So he's kind of staying impartial. Of course, you've got Tammy Duckworth. She's saying that he should have been impeached on, I guess, I'm using this and she didn't say it, but on 400 or 500 charges, because these Democratic politicians, they think every one of these Republicans are nothing but no good, and they're going to do everything, I say everything in their power, to try to stop them, to try to ruin their careers. And I know some of the Republicans are just as bad as the Democrats. I say some of them. But I think all in all, the Democrats are really bad when it comes to trying to get rid of the Republicans. So, well, we're going to see how that's going to play out. We're going to take a quick break. Callers, hold on. We'll try to get to you. We'll be right back. This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM. Insane broadcasting at its finest. America's bi-state voice of freedom. Renegade Radio. And as always, we are proud, very, very proud to be the Patriots.
From KQQZ 1190 AM, St. Louis, Missouri, USA, you're listening to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of radio.
This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM, insane broadcasting at its finest, America's bi-state voice of freedom. Radio. And as always, we are proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot. Welcome, welcome back to the last 4 or 5 minutes of our show, as always. I don't think we ever have enough time, but we'll take the time we have and do with it with what we have to do with. I have to say, you know, this is going to be a weekend where there's going to be a lot of robberies, there's going to be some rapes, there's going to be a lot more going on because it's the holiday season, and I think you good people know that, and I think it comes a point in time where we all have to think about it, we all have to come together, and we all have to say, enough's enough. Now, we talked about it today, we talked about it yesterday, we talked about it 6 months ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. But when it's all said and done, they can say what they want about the police departments, but they're not the ones that are going to save us at the end. It's us, the people. We're going to all have to come together, and I deplore violence. Never, 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 never should be violence. But at some point in time, we're all going to have to come together and tell these ass-white bastard, political, parasitical, perverted punks that times are going to have to change, that enough's enough, that we're all going to have to come together, and we're going to have to come together and stop all this violence. Now, as always, there's going to be a small majority, a minority, they're going to come out and are just criminals by trade. But those we can handle. But when we start handling people that at one time were decent, but found it'd be easier to go out and do crimes, those are the people that we have to be concerned with. And I think at the end of the day, we're going to have to watch these people. We're going to have to watch over these people. And we're going to have to control these people, because if we don't, you people know it, you know what's going to happen. It's going to be a bad time for everybody. It's not going to get better. It'll never, never, never get better. It'll just get worse for everybody. And at that point in time, there's nothing we can do. But then, at that point, we'll have to fight the fight. So as always, people, friend and foe alike, let's everybody have a safe, enjoyable, prosperous weekend. I don't want to see anybody, friend or foe, get hurt. We can come back Monday and fight each other if that's what needs to be. But let's all try to have a safe, prosperous weekend. Let's all try to do right by our friends. Just leave our enemies alone for the weekends. let everybody kind of fend for themselves. And when it's all said and done, you good people know. You good people know what has to be done. We all have to come together. We have to unite as one. Black, white, men, women, Democrats and Republicans, unite as one. And when it's all said and done, we have to come after these asswipe, no good for nothing, rotten bastard, political, parasitical punks that we call politicians. We have to fight them day in and day out because they're going to fight us. So let's continue. Let's continue not on Monday, not Saturday and Sunday. Let's all enjoy ourselves. But on Monday, let's come back and continue to unite to expose these asswipe, bastard, political, parasitical, perverted punks that they call politicians. And at the end of the day, you know what we have to do. We have to destroy them before they continue to destroy us. Never, never, never any violence. Let's destroy them politically, politically, you hear me? Politically, of course. Right here on the dark side.
All the way from Bootlip, I mean the Boot Hill of the Ozarks, Bob Romanek, the grim rapper of radio, with his brand new single, Nigga Nation. The grim rapper of radio will be performing at Snoots and More in St. Louis this weekend.
Word! This is not about the Emancipation Proclamation, but instead the low-life nigger nation. All the greasy, sleazy, violent niggers need immediate incarceration to save our great nation from extermination and annihilation through the perpetration by the nigger nation. All the nigger think about is demonstration and devastation. They got to say nigger this and nigger that, and all the good people think this is no more than defecation, especially when the nigger nation cries and screams reparation. A nigger phrase that means they want something for free, or if not, there will be a nigger congregation who in desperation will have criminal determination and expectation to destroy our great nation in violation of all of our laws. The nigger nation needs to quit selling all of the illegal deadly street medication and stop their impersonations of a porch monkey. This greasy nigger nation must finally get proper socialization and integration into a decent civilization instead of all of their thug intimidation. Why the nigger nation has an infatuation with violence and criminal association, no one knows. But if the nigger nation will act like they belong in our decent civilization, they will then get an invitation to be a respectful citizen instead of participation in all the violent confrontation. The nigger nation then needs to quit all that nasty fornication, popping out all those daddy-less babies. Maybe the nigger nation ought to instead think about masturbation and copulation to the decent generation of both proud white and proud black population. The nigger nation will have a graduation from violence and then have a celebration, no longer being a low-life nigger of the nigger nation. If all this is done with proper determination, the nigger nation will then get vindication and a proclamation of dedication to quit being a nigger who wishes devastation on our great nation. But if there's any deviation from this dissertation, there will be ramification and then justification, not to give you a standing ovation or a paid vacation, but the ultimate criminal destination, a lifetime of incarceration. Now it's time for the breakdown. Nigga, 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 nigga. I don't mean Negro. Nigga, 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 nigga. I don't mean black man. I mean nigga, 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 nigga. Drop the mic, bitch! The Patriot.
Your First Amendment and All American Station.
A division of Insane Broadcasting.
Renegade Radio.
KQQZ St. Louis.